I'm Afshin Ratansi, and welcome back to Going Underground, broadcasting all around the world from the UAE on Manthada Day, celebrating the vanguard of the Cuban Revolution. Today's show is with the lawyer to Jeffrey Epstein, Donald Trump, Julian Assange, O.J. Simpson, who wants to defend Israel against genocide allegations at The Hague in a week when even NATO countries arming genocide called on Israel to end the war on Gaza. Trump, meanwhile, has landed in Britain, which, according to the UK Defence Journal, he has decided to deploy US nuclear weapons to for the first time since at least 2008. This after Trump's MAGA base deplore his decisions to start wars on Yemen and Iran, as well as ramping up rhetoric against Russia. That MAGA base may not be as worried about thermonuclear gravity bombs in Britain. They are laser-focused on a sex-trafficking Mossad agent Epstein conspiracy. Trump is so angry about the continuing story, he's suing Fox News owner Rupert Murdoch for his Wall Street Journal, alleging new connections between Trump and Epstein. So angry, he even thought attacking Fed Chair Jerome Powell, finally threatening Obama over Russiagate lies and the release of insipid MLK documents would be enough of a distraction. Professor Alan Dershowitz, who defended Epstein and successfully sued the late Prince Andrew whistleblower Virginia Giuffre Roberts, has just published Palestinianism, the newest attack on peace, human rights and democracy, a defense of Israel against international outrage about Gaza, and the preventive state, the challenge of preventing serious harms while preserving essential liberties. He joins me from Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts. Professor Alan Dershowitz, thanks so much for coming back on Going Underground. Everyone in the world probably wants to speak to you right now for all manner of stories. I actually wanted to get you on to talk about the new book, Palestinianism, your defense of Israel in the face of condemnation from all around the world for Gaza. But actually, let's just kick off with what you thought of the Tulsi Gabbard revelations about the attempt to subvert democracy in the United States. You represented Julian Assange, who on this program actually talked about how all the lies of the Russia hoax and, Trump has taken some time in doing this. Tulsi Gabbard was in London in the past few days. I don't know where the MI6 British connection in spreading lies, the Steele dossier. Will Obama go to prison?
Of course not. There's no possibility of a treason case because the Constitution defines treason basically as taking up arms against the United States on behalf of its enemies during wartime. So that's off the table. There should be an investigation, a complete investigation. Obama will not claim executive privilege because he's condemned Trump for doing so. So I think we're going to hear testimony. And if Obama tells the truth, we'll get to the bottom of this. If he doesn't, then there's the possibility of perjury prosecution. But right now, I don't think we're anywhere near criminal cases. What we're near is political accountability.
Well, Obama has immediately denied it, saying it was all ridiculous. We've also got all this information about Hillary Clinton. I mean, can there be anything more serious than an attempt to try and derail a democratic election in the United States in this way, and there be no restitution of any kind for the American people?
Well, the tragedy is that we've really begun to fight dirty on both sides, and elections are no longer trusted by the American people. The media is no longer trusted. Politicians aren't trusted. And the beginning of the end of democracy is distrust. When people distrust the media, the academic institutions, scientists, trust is the basis for democracy. Yeah, laws are very important, but trust is even more important, and we're losing it.
Yeah, but the use of the FBI, the CIA, the intelligence services in this way to deliberately make up P-tapes about Donald Trump and all the rest of it, and the entire media class swallowing it all, there won't be restitution? Because if there isn't, clearly that MAGA base is incredibly angry about the Constitution not being obeyed by their elite leaders.
And they should be angry, and there should be recrimination, and but it should come through the political processes. I don't think the law is adept at getting into issues like this because We see both sides engaging in lawfare, the weaponization of the legal system. We've already seen it with the false prosecution of Donald Trump on fake charges that were made up by the district attorney of New York. And I made a speech at Mar-a-Lago not so long ago that President Trump was at. And I said to him, please don't try to get even by doing the same thing to Democrats that they did to you. And he shook his head.
In fairness, he's not doing the same thing. He just wants justice and the intelligence services not to be weaponized in this way to subvert people's minds in the United States.
I agree. Mine was a warning to him, and he shook his head. And so I think he has agreed that it would be wrong to do it. And I just think that we have to have accounting, and the accounting comes best through congressional hearings, through civil lawsuits, not through the criminal justice system. That's really not suited to get to the bottom of things like this, particularly with constitutional protections like immunity of the kind that President Trump himself successfully sought from the Supreme Court.
I do want to get on to Epstein, but I mean, then Comey, Brennan, all these people, they all get to live out their lives in writing books?
Well, writing books, not getting security clearance, getting relegated to the dustbins of history. Those are pretty serious considerations for people who have lived their lives claiming to be working in the public interest. And if it turns out they were partisan and political and didn't pass what I call the shoe on the other foot test, then I think their reputations will be tarnished.
Well, it's not as bad as what happens to the underclass in that country. Arguably, what was your reaction then to publicly the Deputy Attorney General, Todd Blanche, being told by Pam Bondi, presumably, to say, go see Ghislaine Maxwell? This comes, of course, as here's the Japanese FT headline, Republican Speaker shuts down U.S. House early to avert vote on Epstein. DOJ to meet Maxwell in prison. Trump ally seeks to contain crisis. I mean, that's like a conspiracy headline. Why would they want to close down the one half of Congress just to stop a vote on Jeffrey Epstein, the person you worked for?
No, I represented him, and I can't imagine that man, who was a really a nothing in many ways, has now become the most famous dead man in modern times. He stops Congress from going forward. He dominates the media at a time when we're seeing wars in Gaza and Ukraine. We're seeing all kinds of terrible things happening in the world. And the focus of the media seems to be on Jeffrey Epstein. It's bizarre, but I think it has to come to an end. And the best way to bring it to an end is to give Ghislaine Maxwell immunity, free her from prison, have her come and testify and tell the whole truth, because she knows where all the bodies are buried. I know some of the truth because I was his lawyer. I know, for example, that he never worked for any intelligence agency. He certainly didn't work for the Mossad. Those are all stories, you know, concocted by Tucker Carlson and others. There's no truth to it. And there's no truth to a lot of the allegations in the Jeffrey Epstein case. We know that several of the accusers have admitted that they have told lies and admitted that they distorted the truth. And I think we're going to see a lot more of that if all the information comes out.
I'll get on to the intelligence angle in a moment, but I don't know whether anyone watches these pro-Democrat propaganda stations in your country, but they're, of course, all fretting over the idea that a Pam Bondi DOJ under Trump will extract some kind of deal, perhaps a commutation of sentence for Ghislaine Maxwell in return for just the dirt on Bill Clinton and Democrats in a partisan way. What do you think about that? And then silence any elements as regards Republican GOP elements of the Epstein scandal.
Well, I don't think there's much there. There are no smoking guns. There's no evidence that Bill Clinton did anything wrong, that Hillary Clinton did anything wrong, that Donald Trump did anything wrong, that Bill Gates did anything
wrong.
Have
you seen everything? Have you seen absolutely everything? I know you suggested, kind of, that Kash Patel and Dan Bongino at the FBI kind of de facto covered up the FBI reports about a client list. You said you've seen a client list, but no one in any prominence?
No, there's no client list. What there is an interview from the FBI of alleged accusers, and the names of the people accused. But it's not Jeffrey Epstein's list, it's a list by the accusers, many of whom have made false allegations. Take, for example, a woman named Maria Farmer. She was on CNN as if she were a truth-telling person. She has a history of lying, making up stories. She's a Holocaust denier. She's a virulent anti-Semite. And yet CNN presents her as if she's telling the truth. Or Sarah Ransom, a woman who said she had videotapes of Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, Richard Branson having sex with young children, and then she had to admit that she made up the whole story. So there are going to be a lot of allegations in the files of accusations against prominent people that turn out to be false and made up. So you have to look at both sides of the issue, the accusations, but also the credibility of the accusers.
Yeah. Talking about bearing false witness, you claimed, of course, that Les Wexner, owner of Victoria's Secret at the time, was defamed by Prince Andrew's accuser, Virginia Giuffre, who also defamed you, and there was a settlement in that case. Who exactly is Les Wexner? Because, as you know, that's the name often being talked about by Tucker Carlson to huge audiences and many others. What do you know about him? And is he who gave him gave Epstein all the money he had?
Well, I knew Leslie Wexner quite well. He's worth about $9 billion, and he has homes all over, and he's the one who sold or gave the mansion in New York to Jeffrey Epstein and the airplane. So there's a close connection between the two, and we're not sure precisely the nature of the accusation. My lawyers cross-examined him during the deposition, and he either pretended to be senile or was senile, but he wasn't really able to answer any questions. He's about 88 years old. So I don't know whether he's capable of providing credible information, but a lot of questions arise as to the source of Epstein's money, and much of it comes from Leslie Wexner.
And when you were working with Epstein on the case, did Epstein tell you about why Wexner might have given him this money? Why Wexner would have given power of attorney to Jeffrey Epstein?
Wexner trusted Epstein, and I think he paid him 1% of all the investments he made. And when you invest $9 billion, 1% is quite a bit of change. So he claims totally legitimate sources of income from Wexner and from others. What he told me was legitimate, but I don't know whether that's credible or not.
You can see the class dimension here, can't you? The MAGA base that got Trump elected, and why they're so angry with Trump appearing to dismiss the Epstein scandal as, well, rather like you did at the beginning of the show, as a distraction.
Well, I think it is largely a distraction. I think we know everything we need to know about Epstein. I think we know all the names. What we don't know is about the accusers. We don't know enough about the credibility of the people who've made the accusations. I think we need to know more about that. And that material is all hidden, not in Justice Department files, but by three federal judges in New York who have sealed material. And I know what some of that material is because I was involved in some of those cases. And so the Justice Department, in many ways, looking in the wrong place. They're not going to find this information in grand jury minutes, but they would find it in material sealed by the judges. And so that's where they ought to be looking.
You don't believe these senators, Democratic Senator Ron Wyden, who said there's lots of actionable info still to be released on the Epstein scandal. He's on the Senate Finance Committee. Why are all these major people talking about this? Why would the House of Representatives be shut down to prevent the release of the files, in your opinion?
It's ridiculous. The files should be released. Everything should be released. I've called for their release from day one. Most of the people who
are... Why do you think it's not? Why do you think there's all this
anger? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, people are very angry at Jeffrey Epstein, of course, because of what he is alleged to have done to young women. And Ghislaine Maxwell has paid the price for it. She would not have never have gone to jail if Epstein had remained alive and had gone to trial, because she would have been called as a witness and given immunity. But he died, And so she became the subject of all the antagonism and got a 20-year sentence in prison. And now perhaps a deal will be made to shorten her sentence in exchange for information, or even to release her from prison in exchange for information. That kind of deal is common.
Professor Dershowitz, I'll stop you there. More from the former lawyer for Jeffrey Epstein and Donald Trump after this short break. Welcome back to Going Underground. I'm still here with former Epstein to Trump lawyer, emeritus professor at Harvard Law School, and author of the new book, Palestinianism, The Newest Attack on Peace, Human Rights, and Democracy, Professor Alan Dershowitz. Professor Dershowitz, you were telling me about how you didn't know why there seems to be more and more evidence of a cover-up, as in the closure early of the House of Representatives to prevent the release of the Epstein files. Epstein also knew people like Leon Black. He knew Eric Fisher, the Seagram's liquor heir, Edgar Bronfman. They all funded Birthright Israel. Can you see why, despite what you were saying earlier about no intelligence connections, why there seems to be a connection to Israel, which has many asking how it relates to the war on Gaza?
No, that's fervently anti-Semitic. The fact that there are some Jews involved, there are also many, many Gentiles, non-Jews involved. There is no connection to Israel. The only time Jeffrey Epstein was ever in Israel was for one afternoon. I was writing a book. He was in Paris. He asked if he could come to Israel and I could arrange a lunch with some smart people in Israel. I did that. That was the end. I don't think he's ever been to Israel again. He had no connection to Israeli intelligence. He had lots of people he invested with and invested with him. Many of them were Jewish. Many of them were not Jewish. Many investors generally on Wall Street are Jewish. So I think to in any way imply the way Tucker Carlson has, that there's a connection to Israel, is just a brand of anti-Semitism. There is no connection to Israel, period. I know that for a fact.
Tucker Carlson obviously would deny any anti-Semitism. We'd invite him on the show to challenge you on that.
Sure.
And actually, your new book, Palestinianism, actually addresses your views directly in a more personal way than many of your other works. I mean, I haven't read all of your works because there's so many of them, a very personal way as to the defense of Israel. But you know, and he's appeared on this show, Ari Ben-Menasseh, he is a Mossad agent. When you deny that Epstein is a Mossad agent, I don't know why you're so sure about that. The point about spies is...
Well, sure.
But we don't know, do we?
I'm absolutely positive. No,
now,
I know.
He clearly states that at the moment... Donald Trump is being blackmailed over information, and this is the reason behind his curious flip-flopping, even against his own MAGA base over the Epstein case. Would that not explain?
He's not being.
Would that not?
It would, but it's false. Who would be extorting him?
It would be the Israeli intelligence services and the Israeli government extorting Donald Trump over evidence that was. Some link to Jeffrey Epstein.
That's just absurd.
To carry on the Gaza war. To carry on the Gaza war that Trump doesn't want to carry on as he funds it.
So, and he is saying that and letting it be clearly known. And we know there are some tensions between the Trump administration and Netanyahu administration, but there's no extortion either way. They're both expressing views that they think are in the best interests of their country, but there's no extortion. There's no threat. There's nothing that Israel has over Donald Trump. And there's nothing that Donald Trump has over Israel. And the reason I would know this very simply is because when I was trying to make a deal for Jeffrey Epstein, I was probing him very deeply as to what he could tell me that would help get a better deal. And the one thing he could have told me that would have gotten him absolutely no prison time at all was that he was working for an American ally or for American intelligence. And he denied that categorically, and it wasn't in his interest to deny it. He would have told me if it had been true. I also have pretty good sources in the intelligence business, and everybody has told me categorically there's absolutely no truth to that, none, zero.
Well, we know from the Russiagate hoax what intelligence agents tell people. The thing about Ari Ben-Menasseh, I mean, we hope to have him back on, again, is he's not just some crazy guy. He was the source of Seymour Hersh
for the Samson option about the nuclear weapons program of Israel. He was the source for information that led to the revelations of the Iran-Contra scandal. He's a Mossad agent, former Mossad agent, who explained Robert Maxwell being a Mossad agent. And he, of course, explained how Robert Maxwell, Ghislaine Maxwell, and Jeffrey Epstein were connected to this surveillance in the Manhattan townhouse. You reject all of that.
No, there's absolutely no truth to that. There was no connection between Jeffrey Epstein and Robert Maxwell. Robert Maxwell may very well have done work on behalf of the Mossad, but that had nothing to do with Jeffrey Epstein. There was no surveillance on Jeffrey Epstein's house.
In
this, just
his
the
house.
Stuff that
in his house on prominent people.
No. Yeah. Well, if that were true, there'd be some evidence of that. There'd be some videotapes from day one, from the first day I called for the production of every videotape of every room in Jeffrey Epstein's house. And there was a videotape produced. It was from his house in Florida, where the police installed the videotape in order to try to catch a thief who had stolen money and a gun from Jeffrey Epstein's living room. But there's no surveillance. There's no smoking gun tapes. That's all just the stuff of nonsense, make-believe. There's just nothing to it at all. And let all the information come out. Let Ghislaine Maxwell, she would know. Let her testify. Let others testify. I even haven't been called to testify, and I know a great deal about this. So I don't believe one word of any connection between Israel and Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein did invest or have invested money from Ehud Barak. Yes, that's true. That came way, way, way after any of this happened.
And you don't think people might not want to talk because they're afraid for their lives, given what, there are five suspicious deaths so far? I don't know whether you believe Jeffrey Epstein killed himself. Epstein's family don't, and Virginia Giuffre's family don't about her, and there's one death after another. Do you think Jeffrey Epstein killed himself?
I do, and I'm not afraid to talk. So here I am talking. I'm saying everything. I'm not afraid because I don't believe there's any connection between these deaths, and I don't believe there's any connection between Jeffrey Epstein and intelligence. So I'm prepared to talk. I'm not afraid of anything.
Why would the coroner in that case say that the strangulation of Jeffrey Epstein was not didn't fit with a suicide?
He didn't say that. He said there was a suicide. Then one other person, a person outside, said that he thought there was no
family's own more likely investigation.
Yeah, but not the official coroner. The official coroner said the death was a suicide. Look, I don't know whether it was a suicide or not. If it was a suicide, it was certainly helped by police and agents in the prisons. But I can't imagine how anybody could have gotten into the prison. And remember, this was his second attempt at suicide. The first one failed. And that's when they put him in a separate place where he would have more difficulty trying to commit suicide. And then they called that off. So I do think there is some complicity of the prison authorities, and several of the guards have been fired. But there's a big difference between assisting somebody in committing suicide and having a murder committed in the prison, which would be very, very difficult.
And so you don't believe that Alexandra Acosta, do you think Alexandra Acosta, the ex-Miami attorney, the U.S. Secretary of Labor in 2017, he just made a mistake when he said that Epstein belonged to intelligence, as was quoted.
He denied Epstein.
Yeah, he subsequently denied it. But can you see why?
He denies having said it.
Going underground, we don't really like conspiracy theories as they're considered. We like to look at structural reasons for the reasons for policies. You know all about the allegations about Israel's connection to the JFK assassination, presumably. And of course, Trump.
It's as absurd as anything. Look, sure. There was nobody more pro-Israel in the history of the United States than Robert Kennedy. Nobody more pro-Israel than Robert Kennedy. And the idea that Israel would want to kill
JFK. Was the one. But I mean, at the present moment, a president has been elected on a so-called non-interventionist platform. He's bombed Yemen. He's bombed Iran. He's sending billions to Israel. He's to bomb Syria and Lebanon. Can you see why a lot of MAGA-based people
millions, tens of millions of people would say, is there something on Trump? And then he acts all strange, as you yourself see, about this Jeffrey Epstein character. Does it not all suggest and certainly concur with an idea that Israel has something on him? Mossad has something on him. That's why Netanyahu keeps turning up in Washington.
He turns up in Washington because he's America's strongest ally in the Middle East and because there are very close connections between Israeli intelligence and American intelligence. Israel provides a great deal of very, very important active intelligence to Israel and vice versa. But there is no improper connection. And, you know, this is the seeds of the kind of anti-Semitism that led to the protocols of the Elders of Zion and all the conspiracy theories that led to the Holocaust. There's just nothing to it at all. Israel is an independent sovereign nation that protects itself and does everything it can to protect its civilians and citizens. And the United States does the same thing. Often their values mesh and their policies mesh. Sometimes they don't. And when they don't, they move in opposite directions. And pro-Israel Americans put pressure on the administration to support Israel, and anti-Israel Americans put pressure on the administration not to support Israel. And Israel has been supported by every administration since Harry Truman recognized Israel in 1948. There's nothing unusual about that. The same thing is true of Canada, for the most part, England, for the most part.
I think there is some controversy about Yitzhak Shamir and Harry Truman. And I think Reagan had a bit to say to Israel about Lebanon, the war in Lebanon in the 80s.
Well, of course, there were conflicts, inevitably.
Previous presidents have said, stop the killing of Arabs.
And previous presidents have said to the Arabs, stop the killing of Jews. I'd like to see the killing of all sides stop. Let's remember, too, no country in the history of warfare has had a lower ratio of civilians to combatants killed war.
You know famously that Israel doesn't count all the maybe tens of thousands of children by the time this is broadcast, so you can't calculate a ratio.
Well, let's remember.
Well, you can't calculate a ratio without it.
No. Let me tell you who the children are. They're 19-year-olds who have guns and weapons.
No, you don't
know this.
They're
18-year-olds. They're 17-year-olds.
Professor Dershowitz, you have no idea. The independent media have not been allowed in.
We know that because we've seen Hamas video where they have 16-year-old children with guns and weapons and brag about how these
Shahids. I'm talking about tens of thousands of children that are being killed.
Yeah, there are.
Ah, we seem to have lost the connection. Professor Alan Dershowitz. Well, that's it for the show. Our continued condolences to those suffering NATO nation-linked bombing of Gaza, Yemen, Syria, Lebanon, and Iran. We'll be back on Monday with the political philosopher read and name-checked by U.S. Vice President J.D. Vance, Tucker Carlson, Steve Bannon, Elon Musk, and Rumble and Palantir billionaire Peter Thiel. Until then, keep in touch via all our social media if it's not censored in your country, and head to our channel, Going Underground TV on Rumble.com, to watch new and old episodes of Going Underground. See you Monday.